Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy, second chapter, we'll start reading at verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let us pray. Father, I do thank you so much today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for just who you are. You're the true, you're the living, the only God. And this morning, we certainly do need thee. And so, Father, once again this morning, we need your power, your wisdom. We ask you, God, to do that which we certainly cannot do. And, Father, we ask you to deal with our hearts, that we might have a desire in our life to just be more like you. And so, Father, I pray for the preaching this morning, that it be what it should be. And, Father, that you'd be able to accomplish that which you've intended to be accomplished this morning. Praying for our children's churches this morning. God bless them in a real special way. Thank you, Father, now for what you're going to do. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. The scripture that I read to you this morning, I believe, is a very, very important scripture. I believe the responsibility of God's people, I believe the responsibility of a church and all of its ministries is to teach others, so that they might be able to teach others. We need to teach people how to be faithful, how to do right, how to walk with God, so that they then can walk with God and teach others to walk with God. Amen. That's the whole principle. That's what God does, and that's the way he wants it accomplished. I was thinking about, I'm going to read you just a couple, three things here, but I think most of you probably have heard of John Witherspoon. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. I don't know whether you know all about him or not, but he was a great man. He was a great man of God. I want to give you a little bit about him. He was a man, it was said of Mr. Witherspoon, he was a man who helped shape the men that shaped America. And what I'm saying to you is we've got to shape some people so that they can help shape America and get America back where it's supposed to be. We're in trouble. I just believe we're in trouble, and I know we got a great God, and I'm thankful for him, but we're in trouble, and we need to shape lives for the glory of God, so that we can get them out there and get them doing what they're supposed to do, so they can shape other folk and they can help turn this thing around. Mr. Witherspoon, his accomplishments were, first of all, he was a member of the New Jersey Senate. He was a member of Congress. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. The man here in this article, this was an article out of the Foundations of America book, and he says his greatest contribution was as president of the College of New Jersey. And since 1896, it was known as Princeton University. Now, we think of Princeton today, and we think of the liberalism, and it is, but it wasn't that way. In the beginning, and Mr. Witherspoon served as president of that college. It was there he helped train the men who would become the leaders of the new nation. It says Mr. Witherspoon was president of the College of New Jersey from 1768 to 1794. In those 26 years, just listen to this, 26 years, 478 young men graduated. Well, that don't sound like very many, does it? In 26 years, it's an average of about 18 people over those 26 years. A lot of times you look at, you know, schools and we see them by the thousands of graduating, but it's not so much the number that graduate, but what they do after they've graduated. And how they've been trained. But he says of these 478 graduates, 114 of them become ministers. 13 were state governors. 3 were U.S. Supreme Court judges. 20 were United States senators. 33 were U.S. congressmen. Aaron Burr, Jr. became vice president. James Madison became president. Of the 55 delegates to the Constitutional Convention, 9, 1/6 were College of New Jersey graduates, and 6 graduated while Mr. Witherspoon was president of the college. See, he helped shape people who helped shape America. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness." James Madison said, "We have staked the whole future of America's civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, and upon the capacity of each of all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." I could read you many, many things. I'm not going to spend the time to do so, but we've got to remember something. What we're being taught in America today is what is not America. You've got to understand this nation was founded upon the basis of God's Word. We cannot forget that. And I know that the people today, they don't, even younger people, they don't understand this. They don't even know this. They've not been taught this in many of the schools. But America was founded upon principles of the Word of God, and certainly from men who was prepared to teach those principles. Now, our whole secret is we've got to get people taught. We've got to get them sent out, faithful men sent out, so that they can teach others the precious Word of God. I don't know whether you understand it or not, but the importance of the pulpits of America is more important than you'll ever imagine. What goes forth from the pulpits of America is absolutely important. This morning, all across this great land of ours, it is important what is being said behind the pulpits in churches all over this country. Why? Because the Word of God must be taught, and the application of that Word must be applied. We cannot just teach God's Word, we must apply God's Word. And why, you say, Brother Ross, why is that important? Because it sets the standard for what we become. It's the standard in how you live your life. You want to know how a husband knows how to treat his wife? Because the Word of God tells you how. The Word of God absolutely is very explicit on how a husband is to teach his wife, and how a wife is to respond to her husband, how she's to teach, treat her husband. That becomes the very principle of life. Why? Through the Word of God, it being taught from pulpits and through Sunday school classes and in homes. That's how your life will be developed. And if it is not taught, it won't be developed the proper way. Now let me say also, how does children know how to obey parents? What they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to live, how we are to train children. The Word of God tells us that. The Word of God instructs us what we're to do with our children and how we're to train them. And they learn from the Word of God how they're to respect their parents and how they're to act and all of these things. That's the Word of God being preached. And if it is not being preached, we're in real, real trouble. You see, that's how, if you want to know the truth, that's how a workman who works out here for somebody knows how to work. You know why? He knows how he's supposed to treat his employer. You know why? Because the Word of God tells you. You don't believe that? Read the book of Ephesians. The Word of God is very, very definite on all of those. He tells the employer how to treat the worker. You see, all of these are instructions from God's Word. And if we'll just hear the Word of God and follow the Word of God, this nation can be turned back to doing right. You look at all areas. How do you know how to be a good neighbor? How do you know how you should treat your neighbor? The Bible tells you. The Word of God tells you. How do you know how to be a good citizen in America? Be a good Christian citizen? Because the Bible tells you how to do it. You see, and the Word of God needs to be taught. How do you know how much love you ought to have for your church and how important the church ought to be in your life? Because the Bible tells you. If you'll pay attention to the Bible tells you that the church should be the very center of your life. And you ought to go from there and take the Word of God out from. But the church should be very important in your life. No, the Word of God tells you that. You see, you don't have to get that from anywhere else. If you read the Bible, you'll find that out. You'll find out also how to have personal holiness. You know why? Because the Bible will teach you how to have personal holiness, you see. All of these things we are taught in the Bible, from the Bible, the Word of God. So it's important what goes forth from pulpits this morning. It's important that you're in a church where you hear the Word of God preached and taught. It's important that you take it not only and hear it, but you know, it's important that you take it and apply it to your life. Amen. That's what this thing is all about. And many pulpits nowadays are silent on many subjects. I guess fearing people. I don't know what the whole problem is, but they're silent on a lot of problems. They're silent on purity, morality. They're silent on gossip, and they're silent on people living together outside of marriage. We should not be silent about that. The Word of God tells us that marriage is honorable, you see, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The Bible teaches that. And we're accepting all these things today. No, we ought to just preach those things and teach those things. They ought to hear it from the pulpits of America. If this nation is ever going to get turned back, we've got to preach it from our pulpits. And all the things that goes on today in America is disgusting. I stand here today, and this is the first week in the history of this country that this nation has ever had one of its states okay what they call same-sex marriages. I entitled it as sodomites marriages. This is a terrible time in the history of America. Never has that been before legalized. I know they did it before, but legalized in America, in Massachusetts, it's legalized. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is in America. Aren't we not in trouble? We're in trouble. What do we got to do? We got to teach young people. We got to teach people so they can go out and be faithful and teach others. We've got to get the Word of God where it needs to be got into the ears of all America. Solomon was supposedly a wise man, and he mingled with the godless nations and dabbled with idolatry. He sowed the seed of destruction of his country. And I want to tell you, the destruction of this country is being right before our very eyes, and most of us don't even realize that. We don't understand what's going on. We're just taking everything the way it is. But I'm going to tell you what, when you have a state in the United States of America that legalizes this sodomites marriages, we are in trouble. And that thing is probably going to spread. You understand? You know, our Canadian, up here on our Canadian border, our neighbor up here in the north, do you know now they've passed laws that any type of statement that says anything about the homosexual crowd is absolutely a federal crime? Could be arrested for it. Do you realize that what they're wanting to bring into America is, if I would get up here and condemn sodomy in any way, I could be taken from this pulpit and put in jail for it and arrested for it, because that is what they want and that's what they're after. Do you understand that? You understand what's happened in America? You say, well, Brother Ross, what are we going to do? Well, I want to tell you something. If America thinks they can take their children over to the philosophies and all of the humanistic teachings of this world and teach them and let them train our young people, and this America is going to be turned around, it is not going to be turned around that way. You see, we just finished another year here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church School, one of its ministries. Another year, we had ended up with 61 students. Now, you can say anything you want to. You can do anything you want to. You have that freedom. This is America. And you have the right. But I want to tell you right now, if you would put your child in a public school and let that public school train them, you better rethink that whole thing. I want to tell you something. We spend a lot of time here. It's not just an education here. You say, Brother Ross, you want them to have I want them to have an education, but I want them to have much more than that. We teach them on a daily basis. They're taught. We're not just trying to give them math and science and social studies and English and word building. We're not just trying to give them that. We want them to have that. We want to teach them how to live. And we do that on a daily basis here. They spend all kinds of times here in this school. They do all kinds of things. You know, they even have their little conflicts. They know how to, they learn how to get along together. You say, Brother Ross, is those conflicts wrong? No, that's life. And they learn how to correct those conflicts here. And you ought to see these young people down here. You ought to see them getting together, and they plan things together, and they work together, and they do things together, and they go places together, and they learn how to get along. They learn how to live. Yes, they get an education, but I want to tell you, it's not near as important. Not near as important to get the education. It's what you're going to do with it after you get out and get the education and get out and do what you're going to do with it after that. It's good to have an education. I'm glad each one of you have an education. Wherever you're getting that education, I want you to have an education, but I want you to be able to go out from wherever you get that education and serve God with it. Do something for the Lord with it, because we've got to get others taught so that they can teach others. I believe with all my heart, I want to see young people go from this place, and I want to see them become Sunday school teachers. I want to see them become school teachers. I want to see them become preachers. I want to see them become missionaries and missionaries' wives and preachers' wives and all kinds, and just get good solid citizens in their churches and in their communities. I want to see that. Well, you know why? Because they need to be in positions where they can teach people. They got to have an influence upon our nation, upon the people of this nation. If we don't get that influence out there, we are in real trouble. So why do I want to see some of these young people become school teachers? So they can stand before their class one of the days and tell them about Jesus and tell them that this is the principles of God's word. This is how you live. This is what you do. So they can spread the word of God. Amen. So it's not just an education. You can get all the education you want to get and be just as dumb as you can be scripturally. You may be smart world-wise, but you can be as dumb as you can be spiritually. God's looking for people that'll influence people for the glory of God. And that's what our desire ought to be in here at Blessed Hope Baptist School. We've tried very hard in doing that. We're going to continue to try. Even though we get criticism, that's all right. Let us get criticism. Anybody's trying to do anything good gets criticism. You always do. You always will. Amen. But I'm just trying to say to you folks, we've got to teach people. We've got to teach young people so they can go out and teach young people. Amen. See, I'm not talking, when I talk about all these other things, I'm not talking about people who's doing things out of ignorance. They're doing it by choice. I mean, they're choosing the way of life. They're choosing this. They're choosing to go against God's word. And the only secret for us is to get out there and teach these young people how to love God and walk with God on a daily basis. And that's what we try to do here at Blessed Hope. We want to try to teach them on a daily basis how you get along with each other, what you do here, what you do there, how you plan. They work in the yearbook together. They plan all those things. They do things together. They go places together. They learn. That's what it's all about. I want them to be able to know something other than just academics when they walk away from here. Amen. So that's what we're going to continue to do. Amen. So anyway, that's why God said here in his word, these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's just my greatest desire. I want to see down the road. I know they're all not going to do it, but I want to tell you, I want to see young people go out there. I want to see them become school teachers. I want to see them become preachers. I want to see them become missionaries. I want to see them becoming strong pillars in their church and be Sunday school teachers and get the influence of God's word into other people's lives. And that's the only way you're going to do it. Amen. So we've got to continue to do that. No matter what anybody else says, we've got to just keep on doing it. Amen. All right. I want you to go with me to the book of Ezekiel for just a moment or two. Book of Ezekiel, 22nd chapter. Book of Ezekiel. Verse 23 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion raving the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priest have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed differences between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them." I want you to notice here, he says what they've done, and we're doing it in America today. We've quit telling about the difference between the clean and the unclean. We just want to call everything clean. We're afraid to stand up and say, this is wrong. According to the Bible, this is wrong. I want to tell you, there's just things in the Bible he says it's wrong. We need to stand up and say the very same thing. I can name them by the hundreds probably, but I'm not going to do that this morning. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There just needs to be a difference between right and wrong. And that's what he's talking about here. The priests would not do that. What I'm saying to you simply is this, and we could go ahead and read all of this, but the real problem was at this time in the book of Ezekiel, the real problem was they were not hearing the truth of the word of God. That's the first point, not hearing it. One of the great reasons we're not hearing it is the pulpits of America. We are not hearing the truth of the word of God. And I'm saying to you, from Sunday school teachers to whoever it might be, we have got to get the truth out. And the main problem here is, the first thing is, there's no hearing because the priests would not teach it. You go ahead and you read on down through there. I'm not going to do it for sake of time, but you ought to read it, because the priest was not doing it. They was going against the word of God. They did not care about the word of God whatsoever. They thought very little about the divine word of God. They wanted to do their own thing, and that's what priests are doing today. I blame the pulpits of America for much of our condition today. And we've got to quit being afraid of preaching and teaching the word of God. We've got to tell people. We're in dire trouble in America. We've got to teach a people. If it's only a few people, we've got to teach them and train them so that they can go out and teach and train. But the problem here was they were not hearing it. And that's the first point that I want to make known. Many times, it's never heard. It's never heard. I'm just saying to you, in verse number 27, let me read that to you. It says, and her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, raving the prey to shed blood and destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. The princes here speaks of the leadership. The princes here speaks of the political leadership. What we have been producing because we failed to preach the word of God is a bunch of princes that don't give a hoot about the word of God. And they're not walking according to it. So we've got leadership in America that couldn't care less. I feel so sorry for that governor out there in Massachusetts. He is doing everything he can do to try to turn that thing around, and he can't get it done. He's fighting against those sodomites out there. He's fighting against it, trying to get that thing reversed, but he can't do it. You understand? Why? Because he's got too many princes around that don't give a hoot about the word of God. Don't care about the word of God. You will notice here, you know, when a nation breaks down, I'm saying, and that's what they're doing here, they haven't been hearing the word of God. I know on the next point where it will make a big difference, but they're not hearing the word of God. We've got to get it out. How are you going to get it out? You've got to train people to get it out. And they've got to be faithful and go out and get it out. You young men and you young ladies, you can't just sit still. You can't just look at the problems in America and say, oh, well, that's not my problem. Yes, it is. Go out and train. Go out and do it and teach others to do right. It's on your shoulders to do that. Amen. You see, these nations break down spiritually, politically, economically. And what they do is, in verse number 29, here's what happened. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, and they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. What happens is people begin to turn against people. And they begin to oppress. What for? The almighty dollar. The almighty dollar becomes more important than anything else. It's not how we treat other people. It's how are we going to gain a living? How are we going to get this? How are we going to get that? How are we going to get more in debt and more in debt and more in debt and get this and get that? How are we going to do it? They don't care how they do it. They'll do it by cheating and however they can do it. That's what they did here. Why? Because they don't have the principles of God's word in them. Amen. You get the principle of God's word, it'll change your life. It'll make you live different. It'll make you do different. Amen. Look over in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, please. I'm just going to give you three simple things. First of all, it's no hearing. They're not hearing it. Why? Because the priests, the people, the teachers, the leadership is not stepping up and teaching it. Homes are not teaching it. Daddies in homes are not teaching it. Amen. Now, the second point is simply this. Look at verse number 29 of chapter 33. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shalt thou know that a prophet hath been among them. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, no, not only hearing, they don't hear it. These people hear it, but they don't do it. Oh, they hear it, but they don't do it. See, that's the next problem. Let me say to you young people, as you grow up, you're going to have people that know that don't want to hear it. That's for sure. But you're going to have people that hear it and won't do it. And that's the problem. See, that's one of the problems right here in America. Many, many people know what's right to do, but they won't do it. They don't have any intentions of doing it. You see, that's what they hear. They said it's a lovely, lovely, lovely voice. Yeah, preacher, I like to hear you preach. I'm glad you're preaching. It's good. I like to come and hear you preaching, but I'm not about to do what you say. Yeah. People travel all over America to hear some of these great preachers of America, but they won't go do what they say. Yeah. You see, the problem is a lot of times there's no hearing. The priests are not preaching it, but then when they do preach it, they're not doing it. Right. Right. Amen? Simple. Now I want to show you the third one. I want you to go back with me to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. Sixth chapter, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You know what the third problem is? First of all, there's no hearing. They don't hear it. Secondly, there's hearing and they won't do it. Thirdly, there's hearing and doing it, but no duplication of it. You know what? I've known people who've lived godly all of their life. I mean, they walk with God. They've served God. They've, in their life, has said, I'm going to live right. I'm going to do right no matter what. I'm going to do it. And they've done it. But they've never required their children to do it. There's got to be duplication of it. You see, we can't just say, do it ourselves. We've got to duplicate it. We've got to see to it that our family does it, that our children does it, that our grandchildren do it, and our great-grandchildren do it. We've got to go on down and duplicate this thing. Teach people so that they may teach others also. See, we've got a real problem. There's a lot of people who's not hearing it because preachers won't preach it. We've got a lot of people who are hearing it but will not do it. They've just made up their mind whether that's all they're going to do. They're going to go here. They're going to go there. They ain't going to go any further. They put a stop sign up. I hear you, preacher, but I'm not about to do it. And then we've got those who have done it, faithful at it. I mean, they've been faithful. They've done it. But they won't duplicate it in their children's lives. They won't require it of their children. I'm saying to you, the Word of God says here, you teach it to your children. You train your children. Amen. It's not enough just to you to do it. It's enough to then to train your children to do it also. That's why he's talking about teaching faithful men, that they may teach faithful men. You see, it's not enough. You say, well, I've been living a godly life. Well, teach your children to live godly. Teach your children to sacrifice. Teach your children to live right and do right. No, what we've done in America is we've decided that we want our children to have it better than us. And what we're really saying is we want them to be worse than us. Yeah. That's right. That's We want them to live a more ungodly life than we lived. We lived a godly life, but we want them to have some freedom. No. We've got to teach our children to duplicate this thing. If we don't, that's why our country right now is headed in the direction it is, because there's not been a duplication of it. You say, Brother Ross, you say, I've fed my child. Good, you should feed him. You should feed him. It's right to feed him. It's right to work and right to feed him. It's right for every man to get a job, if all possibly physically he can do that, get a job and work. That's right. That's proper. That's scriptural. That's what we ought to do. Amen. So you feed them. You've done good. You've got to teach them the principles of God's word. You got to teach them how to love God and to walk with God. All of those things are good that we've just talked about, and it's right that you do that. But you've got to teach your children how to love God and walk with God and serve God and live for God. You see, if you leave them just educated and you leave them just know how to work, you have an unspiritual individual. They're not going to do anything for God out there. They're just going to go out there and exist in community. We need young people who are taught, and all of these things we've talked about, yes, but we need young people who will go out there and do it so their generation will do it and they can teach another generation to do it. Not just work hard, yes, do that, but I mean love God and walk with God and stand for the things of God. See, we've got to duplicate this thing. These parents out here's got young children. You've got to duplicate it, folks. It isn't enough to say, I live for God, I walk with God. No, you've got to duplicate it. You've got to do everything you can to get your young people, your children, your grandchildren, to love God and walk with God. You've got to do everything you can. Amen? So I say to you, where are those? Where are those who's going to stand up and stand for the standards of the Word of God? Where are they at? Where are the young men who's going to rise out of the ranks and stand behind pulpits and preach the Word of God without compromise, without favor? Where are they? Where are they going to come from? I'll guarantee you they're not going to come from a bunch of spiritual wimps. They're going to come from young men who's going to be willing to stand up and do something for God no matter what the cost. And that comes from parents who's willing to teach them to do that and train them to do that. Amen? No hearing. Hearing, but no doing. And then doing it, but not duplicating it. Folks, our country is in trouble. His preacher can stand this, say this over and over and over, and I know people look at me like, oh well, ho-hum. What are you going to do about your children, your grandchildren coming up? Don't you think it's right for you to stand and keep the standard high, hold the banner up for them? For them, aren't they worth it? Don't you see where we are in this country? Don't you see that? Don't you understand that? Do you think it's going to get any better? Well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to make a decision. That's what you ought to be saying. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to do right. I'm going to teach my children right. I'm going to raise my family right. I'm going to set some standards for us. We're going to live right. We're going to walk with God. We're going to do right. You know what? We're going to do it. I'm going to duplicate it in my children. Why? So that they can duplicate it in their children. Amen. So I'm saying to you, I want you to have a good education, but it's more about that. It's more than just education. What are you going to do with that education when you get done? Are you going to take and use it for the glory of God? Amen. I see some sweet young people going, thank you. You give me hope. You give me hope. This will preach your hope. Because that's the secret. That's the secret. You grow up right and you do right. You love God. And you teach yours to love God. You stand before Sunday school classes. You stand before school classes. You stand wherever behind pulpits, wherever it might be. You stand and you teach others. Why? So they will be able to teach others. Amen? Now, folks, that just automatically just come. It takes determination. This preacher's been preaching for 35 years. You don't have to agree with this preacher. You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. I believe I've stood where God wanted me to stand.
Amen.
And I'm going to do my best to stand there for the rest of my life.
Amen.
I'm just going to do my best. I'm not much. I'm just going to do my best to reach people, the best I can reach people for the rest of my life. Why? So I can teach faithful men, so they can teach faithful men. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. Our country's in trouble. And we need people just to stand up and say, I'm going to do it. Now let me say this to you. You can't do it if you're not saved. There's no way in the world you can do it if you're not saved. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to know for sure if you died, you're going to heaven. I'm not talking about just joining a church. I'm not talking about just one time I said something. I'm talking about true born again conversion. Jesus came into your heart and saved your soul. Made a difference in your life. You say, I was saved. We met, Jerry and I met a lady on visitation. She was telling, yeah, I'm saved. I'm just, don't go to church. Don't do anything. You know, I look back and I say, I want to tell you something. If I had to look back on my life and say I got saved and it never made any difference in my life, I'd be scared to death. I'd be scared to death. Since you've got saved, how did your life change? I mean, you ought to look at things different. You know, you ought to look at things different. You ought to be different. Why? Because Jesus is in your heart. Amen. So are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? Amen. Can you really in your heart say, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure that if I die, I'll go to heaven. I know for sure of that. There's no doubt in my mind. Then are you willing to stand for God so that another generation will have another opportunity? This isn't games, folks. You know it isn't. It ain't games. I want to tell you right, salvation is not a game. You better be sure you're born again, ready for heaven. And then make a stand for God. And you say, well, I don't want to make a stand for God. Well, you better ask yourself, why don't you want to make a stand? Don't you want this next generation to be better? Don't you want the people coming behind you? Don't you want them to have an opportunity and a chance? Amen. That's what it takes, is for you to determine. I'm just asking God to be able to work on all of our hearts today, do what needs to be done, amen. If you're not saved, you need to walk down this aisle. You need to give your heart and your life to Christ today and receive him as your personal Savior and let him save your soul and give you eternal life. Be sure of that before you walk from this place, amen. Let's